This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا. وكم أهلكنا قبلهم من قرن هل تحس منهم من أحد أو تسمع لهم ركزا. صدق الله العظيم. And yes, that is the two final verses of chapter 19. With the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah accept from both the speaker and the listener, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to imbibe the message of Surah Maryam and the message of the Quran in its entirety. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادْ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَبِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give glad tidings to my servants, those who listen to the advice and then implement it, imbibe it and execute it. Okay, so let's just have a quick look at the translation and then a brief commentary of verse 97 and 98. Verse 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surely we have made the Quran easy in your language, meaning the language that is Arabic. The awwal mukhatab, the first person to listen to the message of the Quran was the Arab, and the language they spoke was Arabic. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. Every Nabi was sent with the language of his nation. So what is the purpose of the revelation of this Quran? It was in Arabic, in the most purest of Arabic, the best of languages. لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ. By virtue of which you can give glad tidings to those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُنْذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمَ الْلُدَّ. And coupled with that, you sound a warning to the quarrelsome nation. Those who argue, those who debate in the fundamentals of Islam. And some people, unfortunately, just have this nature of continuously arguing and arguing. And yes, in the matters of deen, regardless of how much you present the truth to them. So Allah had refuted in the Quran all the arguments to supposedly support the concept of polytheism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَذَا ذِكْرُ مَنْ قَبْلِي. Here's the Quran and the previous scriptures all support the article of Tawheed and monotheism. لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذَا لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَاهٍ بِمَا خَلَقْ وَلَعَلَىٰ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah gives a logical refutation of polytheism. If there were multiple gods, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَا. There would have been corruption in the skies and the earth. لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهِمْ بِمَا خَلَقْ. At the point of dispute, each god would have claimed what he created, and then he would have broken away from the other god. إِذَا لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا. There would have been rivalry to overthrow the Supreme One. But all this does not happen because there is only one absolute being in control. قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Ask them, in whose control is everything? وَمَنْ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask them, who has power, who can give shelter, and nobody can give you shelter against him, that is Allah. قُلْ فَأَنَّا تُسْحَرُونَ. Ask them, you know, who is casting a spell on you? You accept the principle, you understand Allah created the heavens and the earth, you understand protection can only be given by Allah, and then when it comes to worship, then you worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتُنْذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُدَّ. Warn those people who are quarrelsome by nature. They just want to argue. يَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. There are some people that are just sitting to try and find a folly in the deen. Of course, there is no folly. It is blemishless. It's flawless. It's impeccable. In fact, in chapter 2, Juz 2, verse 204, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a munafiq by the name of Akhnas. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعَجِّبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. amongst the people min tab'eeth in basic Arabic grammar. Some of the people are those. من يعجبك قوله. His speech is very impressive and articulate. And this was a common trait amongst the munafiqeen. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. Impressive in their physique. وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And they would mesmerize you with their speech, articulate by nature. So he would come and he would give off this expression of intense love for Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِي. And he says, Allah is my witness that I love Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah says, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. He is the most quarrelsome of people, always looking for an argument. And besides the fact that arguing and debating and challenging the fundamentals of Islam is wrong, is sinful, and the consequences are catastrophic. On a separate note, just on the term ludda, quarrelsome, it's not good to have a nature just to argue. Some people, unfortunately, just on petty things, they will blow up, they will magnify, they'll make it into a full feud and an altercation, and they become personal and they become super sensitive. We need to become less sensitive. Of course, don't deliberately, consciously hurt any person, but at times, inadvertently, things can happen. And if you are a sensitive person, then I'm afraid, you know what, the most petty things can trigger such a person. Okay, so verse 97, فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran has been simplified in the Arabic language, لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ, by virtue of which you can give glad tidings to those that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from amongst them. May Allah make us from amongst them. We can assume we have taqwa. We can assume we have sabr. We can assume we have piety, but of course, only Allah will judge. So how often you could furnish a document thinking that it satisfies the requirements, but when you submit it, no, sorry, sir, you know what, you're supposed to print in blue ink or in bold print, or you're supposed to submit it online, or it's supposed to be done in this particular form, and you did not comply with the necessary requirements, and unfortunately, that document is not accepted. So is my sabr defined as sabr in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will I be rewarded? Or am I comforting myself? Am I comforting myself that what I did was correct? The matter lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُنذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمَ الْلُدَّى. And warn the people that are quarrelsome, that are arguing on the matters of deen. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. There are those people that argue regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have any rudimentary knowledge, any basic, any essential. They don't have knowledge of the scriptures, but they just want to argue. So the Quran refuted the basis of polytheism. And then they would counter argue by saying, مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. But my father did it. But my grandfather did it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا. Even if your ancestor was foolish, was naive, was uninformed, would you rigidly hold onto a tradition, a value, a system, purely because it's been transmitted from your ancestors, even if repeatedly you can see the holes and the flaws in the system? And I think that's an important point for us to understand. Sometimes we also become very rigid on certain values and or rather customs and norms. We need to hold firmly onto deen. We need to hold firmly onto deen and not onto custom. فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hold firm onto the deen. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an expression, grip onto it with your teeth. Okay, so that's verse 97. Quran simplified in the Arabic language, the purpose to give glad tidings to the pious. May Allah make us amongst the pious. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى. وَاصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. لا إله إلا الله. How aptly and succinctly said by the Arabic poet. خَلِّ الذُّنُوب. Abandon sins. My brother, my sister, what's your takeaway from Ramadan? خَلِّ الذُّنُوب. Give up a life of sin. give up a life of sin. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ External and internal. Give up a life of sin. So I always say, a believer never plans a sin. Yes, it's possible that you succumb to a sin. A believer never plans rising after Fajr. Yes, it's possible you oversleep. But a believer never consciously goes to sleep saying, I'm going to wake up at 8 a.m. after the sun has risen. No, no, that doesn't feature in the language of a believer. خَلِّ الذُّنُوب, give up a life of sin. صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا, minor or major. فَهُوَ التُّقَى, that in essence is piety. وَاسْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. And live like a person who is tiptoeing in a thorny jungle. So he's surrounded by plants, or rather by thorns, by glass. And you know what? He can hurt himself, he can prick himself. And how he gathers his garment, how he gathers his garment and his robe, and he consciously looks before putting his foot. That's how a believer needs to tiptoe on the earth. My move, my interaction, my communication, what I consume, with whom I interact. وَاصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَابِ. Do not trivialize any crime or any offense. After all, a mountain is nothing more than the combination of pebbles. It was small stones put together which results in a mountain. Likewise, we persist on what we supposedly call or identify as so-called minor sins. One of the great scholars said, don't look at a sin, but see whose command is being violated. And in that regard, nothing can be minor because it is violation of the command of the Almighty. The last and the final verse of chapter 19. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. And how many generations we destroyed prior to them. So this is a general approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of in the Quran. Previously, as we discussed in this chapter, they were boasting, أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ خَيْرٌ مَقَامًا. Which of the two groups are better? Who's more prominent? Who's more affluent? Who's more anchored? Who's more established? So Allah closes the chapter, verse 98. Well, there were people more anchored, more established, more wealthy, more affluent, and we wiped them off the face of this earth. So don't be proud over your wealth, your status, your position. Yakam in Arabic grammar comes for takthir. So you have come for istifham as a question and come for takthir to denote abundance. So many nations, groups, generations we wiped out. And we wiped them off in such a manner, كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, like they never inhabited the earth. كَأَلَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ, like it never existed yesterday. And how does Allah conclude chapter 19? هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Can you see any one of them? Can you touch any one of them? Those who were autocrats, dictators, tyrants, exploiting, abusing, claim that they own the world. The sun will never set on their empire. It belongs to us. And we've inherited this here and we will be here forever. Today, can you even hear them? أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. La ilaha illallah. رِكْزًا أَصَوْتُ الْخَفِيرِ. Those who were chanting greatness, chanting their slogans, who were trumpeting themselves, who were inflated and conceited, proud, haughty, and arrogant. Allah concludes chapter 19, Surah Maryam, verse 98. Can you even hear them whisper today? Can you even hear a slight whisper or a sound from them? Nothing, nothing, wiped off the earth, gone, no trace. That's the end, chapter close. So what makes us believe? What makes us believe that, you know what, we are here forever? Let us not be foolish and naive like those who preceded us, each one thinking that he's here forever. Look at Pharaoh, look at Qarun, look at all those that came, made all these claims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped them off the face of this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from pride and arrogance and haughtiness. And I think it featured, in fact, the scholars say the word Rahman, featured in this chapter many a times, and those that were following closely would have observed it. 15 to 16 times the word Rahman, the most kind, the most beneficent that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the subtle hint is that the disbelievers, their crime is so heinous, so horrendous, that they violated the command of a being who is so kind, who is so kind. Okay, just a quick look at certain points and some closing comments and remarks and a little synopsis. So generally, it's the practice in certain tafaseer that the author, when he concludes a particular chapter, he will just highlight certain points, some key takeaway. The whole surah, every ayah is a takeaway. Every ayah is amazing. But in Bayan al-Quran, after the wrap-up of chapter 19, there is some reflections, and I briefly want to share this with both the listeners and the viewers. The first reflection is with regards to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And of course, at the point of discussion, we did expound on it, but nonetheless, a reflection again at it. So the reflection is that when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam called out to his dad, you would recall, my brother, he used very respectful terminology. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي. Oh, my beloved father, oh, my respected father. And that is precisely what is written. فِيهِ لُطْفُ الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَىٰ اتِّبَاعِ الْحَقِّ وَالْإِرْشَادِ إِلَيْهِ مَا لَا يَخْفَى. وهذا مطلوب في الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر لا سيما إذا كان مع الأقارب ونحوهم. So we observe that Sayyidina Ibrahim, being Abul Anbiya, the father of the prophets, adopted a very gentle tone with his hostile father. And we need to reiterate the point that when conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do so in a very gentle, polite, accommodating, sensitive, euphemistic way. Habib Najjar, who the Quran speaks about in Yasin, the chapter of the Quran, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. And he said to his people, follow this prophets and these messengers that have come here. And then he said, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. He had brought iman on Allah, the nation had not brought. But when he addressed the disbelief of the nation, he rephrased his words. He said, why should I not believe in Allah? Why should I? He was believing in Allah. It was the nation. So he insinuated and implied and subtly hinted to them, using it on himself. وَمَا لِي لَا. Why should I? Meaning you should not do this and you should believe in Allah. You should not deny Allah. When Sayyidina Ibrahim was trying to convince his nation on the feeble nature of the things they worship, he looked at the star. He said, Hada Rabbi. Are you saying this is my Lord? According to Jalalain as expounded, Fi za'mikum, right? You allege the star is my Lord. Hada Rabbi. Of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam knew that's not his Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is Abul Anbiya. He established Tawheed. فَلَمَّا أَفَلْ. When the star disappeared, he said, لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. I'm not comfortable with a God that appears and disappears. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا. When the moon came and it was shining and it was bright, he said, هَذَا رَبِّي. No, this is much more brighter. فَلَمَّا أَفَلْ. When it disappeared, قَالَ لَإِن لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِّينَ. He gave a subtle hint to them. He gave a message to them. If my Lord doesn't guide me, then I'm going to be astray. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ. And then when the sun was bright, luminous, the effulgence, he said, well, this is it. So it wasn't Sayyidina Ibrahim saying this here. He was saying it according to them. That's what you perceive. That's what you assume. And then he refuted all of that. And he said, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I turn to the Almighty, who of course is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So that's an important reflection. Another reflection from the tale of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we just look at some closing comments here mentioned in Bayan al-Quran at the tail end of chapter 19, was the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Salamun alayk, hada salamul i'rad anil aghyar, wa talattuful abrar ma'al juhal. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam greeted his dad. Salam mutarakat. Okay, dad, we part in ways. Again, we learn the character of a Nabi, that how polite he was with someone who was ignorant and belligerent. But he didn't play or reciprocate on the same way. When he's seen hostility, when he's seen harshness, and he's seen abruptness from his dad, he said, okay, dad, we'll just call it a day and we move on. And I had mentioned at that point that فيه مقابلة الحسنة بالسيئة فإن ترك الإساءة للمسيء إحسان. That to respond to harshness in a polite way and not to harm the one that harms you is an act of reward. So you say nasty things, you just mute, you just silent, for you is reward. Another reflection, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أي أُهَاجِرُ عَنْكُمْ بِدِينِ وَيُفْهَمُ مِنْهُ إِسْتِحْبَابُ هِجْرِ الْأَشْرَارِ وَقَدْ تَظَافَرَتِ الْأَدِلَّةُ السَّمْعِيَّةُ وَالتَّجْرِبَةُ عَلَى أَنَّ مُصَاحَبَةَ الْفُسَّاقِ تُورِثُ الْقَسْوَ وَتُثْبِتْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ. That when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam realized that his dad is not complying and is not obliging, he decided to part ways. And from this we learn also that if you're inviting someone and he's not obliging, on the reverse, he's trying to impose his bad habits to you, then maybe it's time to draw the line and move on. Otherwise, it will have a negative spin on you. It will have a negative spin on you. So you offer a hand to someone who's drowning with the hope that you can rescue him. But when he reverses the role and he starts pulling you down and you drowning, then obviously you detach and you move away to shore. And that's what we need to realize. Somebody is indulging in something wrong, you try and gently, lovingly, politely bring him on board. But when you realize, no, this is infringing, encroaching on your faith, and it's having a negative spin, then it is time to part ways. Yet another reflection, subhanAllah, this is the beauty of the Quran. وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي عَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيَّ. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said that I will continue asking Allah, I will continue asking Allah for your guidance. Asa Allah akuna bi du'a'i rabbi shaqiyya, and I am optimistic that I will not be deprived of the favor of my Lord. So as hopeful as he was of the guidance of his father, though his father had not obliged, yet the sentiments of Ibrahim alayhi salam was, I will never be deprived from acceptance by my Lord. And that is the reflection of adab and respect in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't give up hope and say, well, I'm trying so much with my dad, no luck. No, I will continue asking Allah for your guidance. And from this we learn that as long as a disbeliever is alive, you can keep on asking Allah for his guidance. And we also learn that how a Nabi presents his respect in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فيه من الدلالة على مزيد أدبه عليه الصلاة والسلام مع ربه عز وجل ومقام الخلة يقتضى ذلك فإن من لا أدب له لا يصلح أن يتخذ خليلا. سبحان الله. Look at the adab, look at the respect, look at the mannerism, look at the etiquettes. And surely that is the demand of khullat and the friendship that he enjoyed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And undoubtedly for someone to be the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be an embodiment of the greatest form of etiquettes. Again, let's take that as a point also of a closing remark. Adab. And I urge and I implore my young listeners and viewers, with your parents, with your seniors, with your teachers, with your mentor, show respect. Of course, we've been told both ways, that he's not from amongst us who does not have mercy on the juniors and who does not show respect to the seniors. But Islam is all about adab. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to Khadir and he said, هَلْ لَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ الرُّشْدَىٰ. Can I perhaps follow you to learn from you? It's quite clear for any person who has an understanding of language and choice of words, لا يخفى على من له أدنى ذوق بأساليب لكلام رعاه موسى مع الخضر. The choice of words adopted by Musa عليه السلام when seeking the consent of sitting in the company of Khadir عليه السلام. Okay, furthermore, فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ كَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ عِوَضًا عَمَّنْ اِعْتَزَلَ مِنْ أَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ لِأَلَّا يَضِيقَ صَدْرُهُ. So when he alayhi salatu wassalam, Sayyidina Ibrahim moved away from his people because they shunned him, his dad told him, back off, don't talk to me. So he had to part with his native place. And of course, everybody has an attachment and a fond memory and a nostalgia of where you grew up. But Sayyidina Ibrahim, for the pleasure of Allah, had to relocate, and he went to Sham. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala substitute the separation from his nation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a son by the name of Ishaq, and then Allah blessed him with a grandson by the name of Ya'qub. وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا, and endowing them both respectively with prophethood. So what's the message? When you give up something for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give you a wholesome return. Allah will give you a wholesome return. Another quick reflection, and that is with regards to the tale of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. النِّدَاءُ بِدَايَةٌ وَالنَّجْوَى نِهَايَةٌ وَالنِّدَاءُ مَقَامُ الشَّوْقِ وَالنَّجْوَى مَقَامُ كَشْفِ السِّرِّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. So remember, we spoke about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam as well. نَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we called him out from the right side of Mount Tur. And the right was the right for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. النِّدَاءُ بِدَايَةٌ, the call out was the beginning. وَالنَّجْوَى نِهَايَةٌ, and the private discussion was the culmination. So Sayyidina Musa heard the call. He heard the call and he advanced towards it. And subsequently he heard it by his entire anatomy, only to get that قَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيَّا. قَرَّبْنَاهُ, just the words alone give me the shiver. قَرَّبْنَاهُ, we drew him close in this discussion. And we spoke about what does نَجِيَّا here mean, meaning that there was no human or no other creation there that was listening to this discussion and this revelation that came upon Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Okay, another quick reflection. وَلَهُمْ رِزْقُهُمْ فِيهَا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّا. This one and one more final one, and then we conclude inshallah with a brief prayer. So rizq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the dwellers of Jannah will enjoy sustenance. And we expounded on it. There is another meaning here, and that is qila ar-rizqu huna mushahadatu al-haqqi wa ru'yatuhu 'azza wa jal. One opinion is that rizq, the sustenance, is not the tangible and the edible, but rather it's the privilege to witness the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will be the most euphoric moment for the dwellers of Jannah. May Allah make us from amongst them. And by the opposite of that, the most painful and the most traumatic moment for the dwellers of hell, may Allah save us. Kalla innahum ar rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubun, that they will be barred from the countenance of Allah. And the last reflection shared here in Bayanul Quran is that in verse 96, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that for the believers, the pious, Allah will create affection and love in the hearts of people. Allah will create love. That's the translation. Inna alladhina amanu, those who bring iman, wa amilu salihat, and do righteous deeds, sayaj'alu lahumur rahmanu wudda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create love for them. And we gave the common translation, and even it appears in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, how Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is instructed to love him, and then the dwellers of the heavens, and then it filters through on the earth. Yet there is another opinion to this as well, and what a great note to conclude and wrap up our tafsir series and conclude this chapter. And that is that qila al-wud. وقيل معنى سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا سيجعل لهم لذة في الطاعة. That would, that Allah will create love, meaning Allah will bless them with sweetness of worship. So they'll get love in their worship. So my brother, we know the pleasure of hoarding. The Sahaba had the pleasure of spending. We know the pleasure of sleeping. The Sahaba had the pleasure of staying awake. We know the fake pleasure of roaming our gaze. They had the sweetness of restraining their gaze. What did that Sahabi say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Ya Rasulallah, salim man shi'ta, harib man shi'ta, khudh min amwalina ma shi'ta, wa ma akhadhta minna kana ahabba ilayna mimma tarak. Miqdad radiyallahu anhu. O Nabi of Allah, join our ties with anyone, and from today onwards, our enemy will be our ally. And sever our ties with anyone, and our ally will become our adversary. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا مَا شَئِتَ. Take from our wealth whatever you want. By Allah. وَمَا أَخَذْتَ مِنَّا كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْنَا مِمَّا تَرَكْتَ. We will rejoice over what you take, and we will cry over what you leave. And when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said, Siru wa abshiru, move, and now glad tidings. So it could only be the sweetness of worship that can allow a person to enjoy that ecstasy. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, "Sahari li tanqih al-ulumi aladhu li min ghat min wasli ghaniyatin wa tib 'inaqi." To stay awake by night and not to sleep and to study the deen and to understand the text of Quran and Sunnah gives me a greater excitement than to embrace a naturally beautiful woman. So everybody would fantasize a romantic embrace of his beloved. Well, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, for me to study Quran and Sunnah, it gives me a greater excitement. وَالتَّمَايُلِي طَرَبًا لِحَلِّ عَوِسًا. And after I accomplish my goal and I resolve the complexities, I sway with jubilation more than you could possibly sway after drinking alcohol or having any other drink that you would fancy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the sweetness of Quran. May Allah bless us with the sweetness of ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the ibadah that we have performed. And may Allah allow us to have those moments where you drop your head in sajda and it is just riveted. Tere maathe pe agar hai sajde ki nishani to kya hua? Koi aisa sajda kar jo chor jaye zameen pe nisha. The Urdu poet said, don't boast about the hallmark of prostration on your forelock. What about leaving an impression of prostration on the ground? On that note, I conclude and I ask you to pray for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward my respected parents, my beloved teachers, my spouse, my children, and all those well-wishers who made it possible for this tafsir to come to some form of completion. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow for the benefit of this to be aam and tam, far-reaching. And may Allah reward all the mufassireen and all the scholars who had devoted their lives and compiled these authentic, reliable tafaseer so that we can draw from these treasures and present it. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. اللهم تجاوز عنا ما كان فيه من خطأ أو نسيان وما كان فيه من تحريف أو تغيير أو زيادة أو نقصان. اللهم أعتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا من النيران. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اجعل أولادنا أبرارا أتقياء وأنبتهم وإيانا في الإسلام نباتا حسنا. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم ارزقنا بكل حرف من القرآن حلاوة، وبكل كلمة كرامة، وبكل جزء جزاء. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهلك وخاصتك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألتنا من خيري الدنيا والآخرة، فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصيب. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان، أنت المستعان، وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.